Amen. That's good stuff. Appreciate that, Caleb, very much. It's kind of neat to see how God works. Being that most of the time, I know where we're going. From week to week, I generally, the Lord is gracious enough to allow me to know where I'm going and how I'm going to get there. And the last couple of weeks, really struggled along those lines. Really didn't know for certain where we would be this morning until Friday. And it is amazing how me and Brother Tom, we don't get together and we don't conspire against you to build this idea that we're just wanting to drive points home week in and week out. Really have not even had contact with him all this week. And even the song that you sung this morning, Caleb, I believe you're going to find, even through the prayer of Austin this morning, a common theme, I think, throughout our morning. And so it always humbles me whenever I get to see God work in that way. If you would, if you have your copy of God's Word this morning, would you open it with me to the book of Mark chapter 2? Amen. Praise God. Y'all got you an extra hour of sleep and got a little extra hitch in your giddy up this morning. Mark chapter 2, if you will put your finger there, put your neighbor's finger, put you a bullet, mascara, whatever you have handy, a hair clip, whatever you can steal from your neighbor, just put it right there and then flip over into Matthew chapter 11. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what. Goodness. Y'all going to have to calm down. Y'all going to cause me to have a heart attack. While you're turning there, I do just want to say a quick thank you to so many that labored yesterday for our harvest night. I believe it was quite successful as far as my eyes were concerned. Got to visit with a lot of people and get to meet a lot of new people and meet a lot and just sit down and visit with a lot of you that, generally speaking, I don't get a chance to do that. And so hopefully we were able to be a blessing to this community, show them that we love them first and foremost and provide them with a safe alternative to come and not have to walk up and down the dark streets, as it were. And so from Miss Carla to the ladies in the kitchen to so many of you that work those games, I know that's 3 hours sitting on the same stool, working the same games for all those hours is it's exhausting. And so I want to just thank each and every one of you that have done that. And I believe we're going to get a report here in just a little bit on kind of how the night went. So I'll leave that alone for now. If you found your place in Matthew chapter 11, do so by saying amen. Amen. Let's all stand together, and we will read Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30, and then we will flip over into Mark chapter 2, verse 27. Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 25, and the Bible reads this: "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." Here's where our text is really going to be hinged on this morning. Verse 28, text that really is probably not unfamiliar to anyone in here, but here we go nonetheless. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Mark chapter 2, verse 27, Jesus speaking, and he says this: "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you this morning. I just want to praise you, Father, for your goodness, for your graciousness, for just your unending love for us, Father, even though oftentimes I myself find myself unlovable. When I look and see myself in the mirror, I just cannot hardly understand how you could love someone like me, but you have, and I thank you for that. Father, I pray that through our time this morning that that there may be something developed in us, Father, that is probably pretty foreign to most of us, but yet so imperative as it pertains to your word and our relationship with you. And so, Father, we're just going to trust you this morning to do something in us that only you can do. We just ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to ask you to do something for me this morning, and I want you to do it in all seriousness, and really try your hardest. Can y'all do that? Can we be a little interactive this morning? Let's all just bow our heads for just a few moments and finish listening to me before you do. Just bow your heads and just close your eyes for just a few moments. Do your very best to clear everything out of your mind, regardless what you've dealt with this morning before you got here, regardless what you have going on after service this morning, but just close your eyes for just a few moments and just empty your thoughts and just try to focus on God for just a few moments this morning. Let's do that together. I know if I go too long, and then what's going to pop in your mind is how long is he going to let this thing last? If you all would be honest with me, and I'll be honest with you, answer me this. Could you say that about yourself? That's the first time you've done that all week long. What about all month long? You say, what in the world are you doing this morning, preacher? What's the point of all this? Well, I was really challenged with something this week. On Monday, as I went to our pastor's conference in Pryor, and Brother Dan has been doing a fantastic job of leading us and just encouraging us while we're there. And he asked this question, and we discussed it for quite some time. What do you personally do to rest in the Lord? I thought, oh, me. And we just, now, grant you, I find myself being pretty successful at this at times, and sometimes I find myself falling so short of that. What does it mean to rest in the Lord? Well, just take those few moments and just focus on Him and nothing else, and to be able to separate ourselves from the responsibility that we have as pastors, and we do, Brother Tom, amen, teach Sunday school teacher, and just lay leader, we do, to take a few steps back from our jobs. I know y'all got all these kind of wonderful, non-stressful jobs. Here you go, ladies. To take a few moments away from your husband, away from your kids. Yeah. And just focus purely on God Himself. I believe we probably all, if we were honest with one another, struggle in that area. And so I want to speak to you on this subject this morning, and I was trying to be funny, and hopefully it is. Sleeping like a baby. Sleeping like a baby. I don't know how many of you actually get that accomplished, but if you do, you need to write me a recipe for that. We find over in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, what has taken place here is Jesus and his disciples have been doing ministry, so on and so forth. They find themselves on the Sabbath, and they're hungry. And so they've been going through the fields, just gleaning a little bit to eat because they're hungry. And the religious folks of that day is really calling Jesus on the carpet, saying, listen, your disciples are out there. They're doing work on the Sabbath. Heaven forbid you do anything on the Sabbath, and that's breaking the law of God, and your disciples are doing that. How can you claim to be a man of God and allow your disciples to do that? And so what Jesus does is he generously and kindly corrects them and reminds them some Old Testament examples of when it becomes permissible to do something on the Sabbath. What the religious leaders had literally done is they had taken this the law of God, and they had perverted it to such a way as God's word says this. And so he says to honor the Sabbath and to keep it holy. And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that God is really honored. And so he really did a poor job of explaining to us what that actually means. So here it is. We're going to set out some guidelines as to what you can actually do and not do on the Sabbath. You can only take so many steps. You can only carry so much of a load, and really that amounted to you. That's all you could carry, and you could only carry it so far. And they'd really begin to set out these guidelines as to this is the cans and the can't do's on the Sabbath. And what they had really done was perverted that thing which God had set up for man to be that which was good for him. The Sabbath, it says the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Well, what on earth does that mean? Well, let's just put it this way. We were never intended, y'all ready for this? At the moment of creation, we were never intended to bear any burden of work or labor or stress or anything. Is that not right? And this body that we live in was never created to have to labor day in and day out and this and that and the other. But there came a point, place, and time when man and woman was in the garden that something took place. They began to rebel against God. They took of the fruit, the knowledge of good and evil, and they were not supposed to. And at that moment of sin, something took place. The consequence of sin took place in the life of human beings. And they come under judgment. They come under condemnation. And even in the midst of that judgment, even in the midst of us sinning, God says, you know what? You still weren't created for that, even though now you're going to have some consequences because of your sin. Here's some of the consequences, if y'all want to hear them. He says this in Genesis 3, the woman will now be multiplied in sorrow and in conception. She'll have pain in giving birth. You will desire to control your husband, but he's going to rule over you. Here's some more consequences for the man. He says, now cursed is the ground. Toil you shall eat of it. Thorns and thistles, and from the sweat of your brow you now shall eat of it. So the consequence of sin stretched far beyond just the idea of being separated from God. Now we have lifelong consequences as it pertains to work and labor and just doing those things that the body wasn't created to do. And in so doing, God even loved us through our time of sin, that he said, you know what? Even though this is part of your consequence for sin, that I'm now going to give you things that you weren't intended to do, I'm going to provide a way for you to get rest from that. Have you ever thought of the Sabbath in that way? He says, here's the deal, and he begins to give the Ten Commandments to Moses. In the fourth commandment, he says this. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord your God, you shall keep it. Well, what does the Sabbath mean? Is that just a big fancy church word? Anybody know what Sabbath means? It means to rest. He says, on this seventh day, you're to rest in the Lord. Well, what on earth does that mean? What do you mean to rest in the Lord? Well, I believe that it would literally mean this, that we're to just stop everything that we're doing and just allow this body to recover, to rest, to focus on him, to take our mind off all the cares of the world and begin to focus on what he has for us. I believe that this is why so many of us in the church are dragging their lifeless bodies in the door every Sunday morning. How many of you are tired? Rest of your line. I believe that's why we drag our dead butts in this church house every Sunday, is because we're taking and we're filling up our time with everything. We we're filling up our thoughts, we're filling up our mind, we're filling up our schedules. Charlene called me. Where'd you go? And there you are. You know, we got to take care of the calendar, and Brother Tom, the calendar's going to get real full next couple months. We're going to be strung here and there and yonder for choir. We're going to have children's programs. We're going to have the hanging of the greens. We're going to have Thanksgiving meals and Christmas. Oh, praise God. We're going to have Christmas meal. I'm sorry. I'm having a moment. our schedules are going to be full, even within the confines of the church. Our schedules are busy. We had harvest night last night, praise the Lord, but that's still 3.5 hours of nonstop kids screaming. Not counting all the hours that went into preparation for that and the hours that took to tear that thing down and put it away so we can do something else tomorrow. We're tired. And we live our lives this way Monday through Saturday, and then we drag our dead butts in here on Sunday and we're like, oh, Lord, bless me. We fail to shut down. We fail to rest, and our time gets filled up with work. And y'all work, and y'all got jobs. Y'all ain't got one like me. Just work one day a week, and your time's filled up with your kids' activities, grandkids' activities. Listen, we got Susie. She's doing dance and she's doing gymnastics, and she's got Taekwondo on the side, and you got Johnny's playing baseball and basketball and wrestling and soccer and football we got to go to all those things. We got to make sure that they're involved in as many of those things as possible, because you know that 30 minutes that we've got every evening that's available, we got to fill that up with something. We fill it up with our television programs. We fill it up worrying about stuff. We worry about our finances. We worry about our husbands, our wives, our kids. Do I need to keep going on with the list? Are y'all lives full? Amen. Okay, just checking. Mine's so open and want to make sure that, you know, we were never meant to go nonstop. We were never created to go nonstop. We were never created to go nonstop physically. We were never created to go nonstop mentally. We were never created to go nonstop emotionally. And so what I want us to do this morning is I want to look and see what God has to say to us about this idea of rest. Let me say this and just try to catch you cheating before we ever get going. Even if y'all were to be honest with me right now, and I know some of you won't, that's okay. Even as we sit here, we've scheduled out a time to come to church. You know, we've penciled it in. We've scheduled a time to come and sing. And if Brother Tom's not through singing at just the right time, he's going to hear about it. And if I don't get through preaching at just the right time, then I'm going to hear about it. Everything's penciled in. Even as we sit here this morning, I would guarantee you most of us, if not all of us, to some degree or another, our minds are somewhere else. Oh my. You're worrying about whether or not the Chiefs are winning right now because they're playing in London. Because I'm the only Chiefs fan. That's why everyone's saying no. I'm the only one they got left. You're worried about whether or not your team's going to do well when you get home this afternoon. You're wondering whether or not you turn the coffee pot off this morning. You're wondering whether or not that chicken leg's going to be done you left in the crock pot. You're worrying about if we're going to be able to beat the Methodist to the restaurant. You're worried about whether or not you can get Johnny to his baseball game this evening on time. Let me ask you to do, at least this has been my conviction this week, and you know, once the Lord deals with you on something, you want to deal with everybody else, right? And so I'm just passing along my blessing this week. Just would you at least give the Lord about 20 minutes of your attention this morning? Maybe 30. Hush. Just 20 or 30 minutes of your attention this morning. Would you at least try to do that for me this morning? And I want you to do it not because I ask you, but I want you to test God in this. Test him in this idea that if we'll do things the way that he asks us to do them, if we'll consider his word in the way that he asks us to consider, that he would not do what he said he would do. And we're going to find this morning that he promises something, that if we'll do things his way, he's going to grant us rest. So y'all ready? I got three little points. And that's all I've got on my sheet. As I give the things back there to Sam this morning, he got three words, and that's it. Point number one is this. How do we find rest? Number one is to come. That's it. He says, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, this is what I want you to do. Just come. It's a simple instruction. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Now, what does that idea of being weary and heavy laden mean? Well, it literally means that you've lived your life to the point of exhaustion. You're taken and you're and really it speaks to so many different levels, to so many people, to the unbeliever, to the unsaved. What it means is you're living your life to a point where you're trying to be good enough. You're trying to come to Him in such a way that He's going to look upon you as though you've done something good enough to come to Him. To the believer, it's like, you know, you're laboring, you're working, you're doing things for me, but you're still exhausted, you're still wore out. It's even that believer that is living in such a way where I filled my time up with so much stuff and I'm just literally exhausted. I can't even hardly drag myself out of bed in the morning. It's literally living a life to the point of where you just can't bear the burden anymore. Bear the burden of what? Life. Listen, life is a burden. And y'all it's just great. It's just fantastic. I mean, it's everything comes up good every day, and this nothing worries me. And you need to give me some of what you're drinking, because life is a burden. And he says, all of you have made it to the point and place where you just seem as though you're exhausted. And we've already confessed this morning that that's most of us here. Amen. He says, if we'll just come to Him. Well, what does that mean to come? Well, I'm here at church this morning, preacher. That ought to be something. I come to Him. I pray every night before I go to bed. Isn't that coming to Him? I even ask Him to bless my Cheetos and turn them into carrots before I eat. Isn't that coming to Him? No, the simple idea of us coming to Him is leave where you currently are. Depart from where you currently are and meet me in a place that I've set forth. Well, where is that? In a place far, far away from wherever you currently are. And I don't necessarily mean that physically. It means to come away from a point and place where my kids are vying for my attention, my wife's vying for my attention, my job is vying for my attention. All these things, he says, come away from that and just meet me here. Meet me here. I desperately want to speak with you. I desperately want to talk to you. I desperately want to give you rest. You see, that's really the one and only thing that God has told us from the very beginning, from the time that we've sinned against Him and separated ourselves from Him. He says, just come back to me. Just come. He gives the call. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Come unto me, you who thirst, and I'll give you living water. You'll never thirst again. Come unto me, and I'll guide your steps. I'll guide your path. Come unto me, you who hunger, and I will fill you. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. That's the call that He's given throughout the entirety of Scripture. Come unto me. I desperately want to renew you. I desperately want to fill you. I desperately want to meet your need. I desperately want to speak with you. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 3 says this. He says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, he says, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. He says, listen, he says, you're spending all your resources and you've spent it to a point and place where you have none. In other words, you've spent all your energy trying to buy things that you can't afford, that you can't even attain. He goes on, he says, why do you spend your money for what is not bread and your wages for things that do not satisfy? Oh, me. He says, listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in just enough. I'm just going to keep you alive. Isn't that what we try to do? We work from week in to week out to see if we can't just barely keep ourselves alive to the next week. You say, oh, no, we got plenty of money. Really? Okay. He says, "What do you keep?" He says, "Come to me," and he says, "Listen, I'm going to give you wine and milk that requires no payment. It's free. It's absolutely cost-free to you. Why do you keep spending your money? Why do you keep spending your time? Why do you keep spending your resources chasing after dreams, chasing after things that will never, ever, ever satisfy your soul and to give you rest? But come unto me," and he says, "let your soul delight in abundance." What's abundance mean? More than you can handle. Oodles and gobs, bunches and bunches. That's Hebrew terms. Verse 3, he says, "Incline your ear to me. Hear, and your soul shall live." He says, "Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David." Well, what on earth does that mean? The invitation is to come. It's to separate ourselves from everything else and to just be in communion with God and God alone in a place that's quiet from the distraction of the world. And here's the part where we struggle with. What's he ask us to do? Just give me a list of things that I want? What do you ask us to do? Talk to him and ask him to bless our neighbor? Come to me and tell me all the needs that you have in your family. While all those things are legitimate, what's the first thing he asks us to do? Come and listen to me. Incline your ear to me. And come. Oh, I believe we struggle with that. Why? Because we're so bombarded with things vying for our attention that we forget to take that thing which God set forth for us from the beginning, that day of that Sabbath, that idea of rest. You say, "Preacher, are you trying to get legalistic on me?" No. That's not what I'm saying. But if we look at the law, we could agree that most of the law was given for our benefit. To be a benefit for us. We talked about this when we were going through the idea of the family, that if we would start looking at what God's Word says, not as restrictions, but on boundaries for us, that we would look at them as things that are trying to protect us and try to do us good, then we would look at them in a whole different light. And as he asks us to have this sort of Sabbath rest, regardless of what day it's on and what it looks like, it's this idea of coming away from the world and all the distractions of the world and saying, "Let me renew you. Just come. Just come." Number two is this idea of take. Number one was come. Number two is take. Look what it says there in your scripture. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." He says, "And I will give you rest." Verse 29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He says, number one, here's a proviso to find rest. Number one, you've got to come to me. And number two, he says, "Take my yoke upon you." Well, what is that idea of a yoke? Does anybody know? We don't use these things very much anymore, but back in those days, they didn't have tractors. They didn't have John Deere or Ford or any of this other type of stuff, and they would use critters to do their farm work. And they had this wooden apparatus that would go around the head of the oxen, and they would hook up all their somebody help me, equipment, whatever you, implements, that's it, implements, thank you, onto this yoke, and they would pull the implements behind them and do whatever work they needed. You know, if they had a backhoe, then they would have, some of y'all don't get that, but that's okay, and they would place this wooden thing on there, and they would put these implements on the back, and that's how they accomplished the work. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." Well, if you're going to put something on, you normally got to take something off. Now, y'all keep your minds focused here this morning, okay? If you're going to put on new clothes, you got to take the old clothes off. He says, "What I'm asking you to do is come to me, and I want you to take my yoke upon you." And the picture is this. He says, you need to remove the old yoke that you have on you and put mine on you. Well, what on earth does that mean? Well, in verse 30, it says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Well, that would stand to reason that if it says his is easy, then the antithesis of that is true, which means the yoke that we're bearing now is not easy, and it's not light. And so what's he saying? He says, listen, all this stuff that you're carrying around with you, and y'all got stuff? What about the rest of you? Y'all got stuff? He says, all this care, all this stuff that you've got going on in your life, all the issues you have in your marriage, all the issues you have with your kids, all the issues you have in your finances, all this stuff that's taking your time, it's putting a burden and a load on you, and you're getting to the point and place where you just can't make it anymore. Now, here's the picture where it says that my yoke is easy. If you really wanted to translate it a little bit better, it would say, my yoke is well fitted. That makes sense? Let's do this. Any of y'all ever wear a pair of shoes that don't fit? I'm not saying you just took and put them on and they didn't fit, but you liked them so much you couldn't find them in your size, but you liked them so much you wore them anyway. Huh? They're not fitted for you. And because they're not fitted for you and you're willing to sacrifice pain and discomfort so you can look good, you put these stinking shoes on, and after a while, what happens? You've got blisters all over your feet, and I mean, your feet's a wreck, and you look good, but you walk around like this. He says, listen, this yoke that you're bearing, this yoke that you've got around your neck, it's not fitted for you. It's rubbing you in all the wrong places. I think I said this a few weeks ago. It's like wearing burlap underwear. It's causing blisters to wear on you. It's causing you not to be able to function the way that you need to. This burden that you're carrying, you never were meant to carry it. He says, what I'm asking you to do is come to me and to take that burden off and put my yoke upon you. What on earth does that mean? Well, what's the practical application for you and me? He says, listen, I want you to come to me, and all that stuff that you've got on your heart, all that stuff that you've got on your brain, all that stuff that you've let build into your life and that's just weighing you down and is keeping you walking from in a relationship with me, just take that stuff off and leave it with me. Huh? First Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7 says this, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Let me just stop there for just a moment. He says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. That means that whenever I come to him, I need to have this idea that if I release myself from this burden, I'm placing it into the hand of someone that can take care of it. Into the mighty hand of God. He says that he may exalt you in due time. And he goes on to say this. He says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So here's the picture. Here's the calling. If we're going to find rest, it says, come to me. He says, and when you get to me, what I want you to do is take off all that burden, cast them on Christ. Any fisher persons? Peoples? Where's my girl at? She hiding back there? She sleeping? She's resting in the Lord. Juliana, you awake long enough to listen to me, baby? You like to fish? You cast your own rod? Do you just drop that little, you drop your bait right there in front of you, or do you take that rod and you fling that thing way out there? You fling it out there? Is that, what do you call that? Is it cat? Amen. Amen. She's good at it. I've seen some of them hauls. But you cast that rod, right? You want that thing way out there. You want it way out there in the deep, right? Where the fish are at. That's the same picture. He says, come to me, and what I want you to do is take off that burden and cast all that stuff far away from you. Cast that stuff on Christ. And what it means, whenever you cast it out there in the deep, you have no intentions of getting it back. Here's what we want to do. We want to come to the altar on Sunday, and the one or two of you that have done it, and you take that burden off, and you lay it right here, and you get down here and you pray for a little while, oh Lord, just help me with whatever this burden is, whatever this issue I'm dealing with, and I'm just going to trust you that you can deal with all that, and oh Lord, you're so good and so gracious, and oh thank you, praise the Lord, amen. And you stand up and you bend over and you pick that stuff right back up and you put it back on your shoulders. He says, listen, what I want you to do is come to me, and I want you to take my yoke, cast off all that junk, throw it on me, and put mine on you. Here's the picture. If that which we had was not fitted for us, and it was rubbing us in all the wrong places and doing that to us which we were never meant to do, we were bearing a burden that we were never intended to bear, he says, listen, the yoke that I have, it's fitted perfectly for you. What's that mean? What's it feel like to be in a pair of shoes that fit just good? Oh, it's like heaven on your feet. Amen? Where's Aunt Chris? Where's Angela at this morning? She not here? She not seasick today? I've got to pick on her because it's hotter than a blazes in here, buddy. Would you turn that air conditioner on? Can you turn it below 80? Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. I always wondered why preachers run around with a hanky in their hand. I guess I'm going to start doing that. Oh, sorry. Where was I at? He asked us to take and come to him and to cast off all those things. Number three, and we're going to close, praise the Lord. He says this. He says, learn from me. Number one, he says, come. Number two, he says, take. Number three, he says, learn. Well, what on earth does that mean? Well, it's that whole idea that when we've taken, we've come to the altar, regardless of whether that's in your prayer closet, regardless whether that's here, regardless whether that's in your truck or your car as you're driving down the road, he says, as you're spending time with me, learn from me. Well, what does that look like? He says, as you've cast off all those things, place it into the hands of one that you can say, I know without a shadow of a doubt he's got this. Y'all with me? He's God. This is the God that spoke and everything come into existence. This is the God that took and he took you and he molded you in his hands. From the dust of the earth, he placed you in your mother's womb. He's the one that breathed air into your lungs. He's the one that walks on the sea, the one that splits mountains. He's the He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if we'll keep our focus on him as such, that when we place those things in his hands, we can trust without a shadow of a doubt that I know he's going to take care of that. What I want us to consider this morning is I kind of put something on Facebook this morning, and just really the Lord kind of burdened it in my own heart, and I just kind of shared it out there. We were never intended to bear the burden of sin, to bear the burden of guilt, to bear the burden of loneliness, to bear the burden of hopelessness, to bear the burden of worry, to bear the burden of worry, to bear the burden of worry. We were never intended to carry those loads. And so what I want to challenge you to do this morning is I know I've been brief, and that's by design. I want us to consider in our own lives, are we willing to take and set aside time? Listen to me, each week. That's the way God said it. I'm going to bless it, right? Okay, just checking. You're willing to set time away each week and say, you know what, I'm going to separate myself from everything that's going on. I'm going to come to Christ and I'm going to remove whatever I've got that's burdening me down this week, and I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to read you the 23rd Psalm real quick, and we're going to have a time of invitation. Brother Tom, I'd like to do it just the same way we did last week, just a time of just music playing, no singing. Just a time of a reflection in my life and yours, and that the Lord would convict us in this area. Why? Why do I think this is so important? Well, if you're unrested, you're unwell. Oh, me? Amen. Okay. Let's read the 23rd Psalm together, and we'll have a few moments of invitation. This is a Psalm of David. I know that we're all familiar with it, even if you've never been in church once in your life. If you've watched any movie whatsoever at some point in time, this has come up. But here it is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You appoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We look at that psalm. We see it read at funerals. Amen. We see it read to those that are on their deathbed, that are laying in a hospital bed on their last leg. But I don't believe that's who the promise is to. I don't believe that's who the way David wrote it. David said, "This is my life. This is the promises that I'm claiming from God. He is my shepherd. He will lead me beside still waters." Well, what does that mean? Well, he leads me to a place where I may drink. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What does it mean that he gives me a nice comfy bed? No, he makes sure that I'm going to be sustained in all that I do. I truly believe that this is what God desperately wants to do in each one of our lives, but we fail to take and come to him and to take off our load and to place his yoke on us and to learn from him. So here's the invitation this morning. This is a simple invitation. Y'all with me? It's going to be, get your pens and paper out. What load are you carrying this morning? What burden are you carrying this morning that you're never intended to carry? What does that burden look like? Listen, however many people there is in here this morning, it's going to look different for every single one of us. The promise has been given to you. Listen, Christ desperately wants to give you rest this morning. Isn't that what the promise was? He says, I desperately want to relieve you of that burden. I desperately want to give you rest. I desperately want to give you peace of mind, peace of heart. I desperately want you to lay your head down tonight and be able to sleep like a baby. So what is that burden? If we're honest with ourselves and if we're honest with God, we will confess that burden to him. Not to me, to him. Say, I have this burden. Number two on the invitation list would be this. I'm willing to take it off. I'm willing to take it off and leave it at your feet, Christ. I'm willing to take it off and leave it at your feet, Jesus. I'm willing to trust in you and learn from you that what you say is so, that in you I'm more than a conqueror, I'm more than a victor, I'm an overcomer, not by my own power, but by yours. I trust that whatever I lay at your feet that you can take and deal with in my own heart and in my own life, and you can give me rest in my heart and in my mind. So here's the deal. If we'll all stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed, we're just going to spend a few moments. And here's what I want to ask you to do. In these few moments, I'm not going to pray. The music's just going to begin to play here in just a few moments. We're going to continue to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I just want you to ask the Lord, Lord, this morning, I'm carrying something that I don't need to carry. Reveal that to me this morning, Father, if I don't already know what it is. If I do already know what it is this morning, Father, help me to be faithful to relieve myself of that burden.